Welcome to Steppin' Out, the 12-step meeting on the air. You'll meet real people with true stories of addiction and recovery. And now, Steppin' Out.
Hello and welcome to America's 12-Step Radio Show. My name is Drew and this is Steppin' Out. Tonight you're going to hear true stories of addiction and recovery, a 12-step meeting on the air. We have our friends here from Sexual Recovery Anonymous, otherwise known as SRA. And our first guest is Tim. He's going to talk to us about his compulsion with sex and the wake of wreckage it left in his life and his eventual recovery from that. So, Tim, how are you?
Doing great. My name's Tim, recovering sex addict.
Hey, Tim.
And great to be here. Thanks for having us, Drew.
Absolutely.
And
glad you're here.
We're all glad to be here to share our message.
Cool.
With the public.
Welcome.
And I guess I'll start with how I got started in,
okay.
in my addiction. And I grew up in a family. I had a rageaholic father.
Okay.
Who was a very busy busy man, was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Mother who was a doctor. My father was, like as I said, a rageaholic, alcoholic. He had numerous affairs on my mother, and my mother poor boundaries with the way she dressed around me.
Okay,
you know, I think that's a way to put it. She most of the time she was half. Fast forwarding, my parents got a divorce, and I lived in Texas at the time, and we had moved to Georgia, and it was basically me and my mother living in this house, and what took place were a lot of inappropriate sexual boundaries. You know?
Like how? What kind of stuff?
It was what I hear a lot and what I identify as covert incest, you know, where my mother is half naked walking around the house.
Okay.
And what basically happened at this age, we're talking 12, 13.
Yeah, sure.
That I was experiencing sexual feelings around my mother, but I was so ashamed of it that I just shut it down.
Right.
You know, I shut it off.
Right.
And meanwhile, I was... My head was just filled with sexual fantasies.
Sure.
You know, about not about my my mother, but of other women.
Yeah.
Know?
But that's pretty normal for a boy, like, developing, you know, puberty. It's
right. For me, I was masturbating about 3 times a day. You know?
Okay.
You know, I would, I remember in geometry class, I would get up and ask the teacher if I could go to the bathroom. And I would go in the bathroom and, you know, jerk
yeah,
off.
Sure.
And where was I? You had to guide me. This is my first time on radio.
You were talking about the inappropriate boundaries
right.
with your mom.
Right.
You defined it as a covert incest
right.
because of. I mean, she's walking
right.
around half naked. You were excited about this.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It's cool. But let me ask you. I mean, again, your average 12, 13-year-old. You know, that's where it's at. I mean,
right.
it's, you know,
you gotta understand. I'm 13 years old and. My father, I don't really see that much of him. He's an alcoholic, raging at me. Never really had nothing to do with me. My mother's the same way. She's a doctor. She's working.
Okay.
She's telling me how much of a jerk my father is, and I didn't really have any. They never really nurtured me. You know, they never really paid attention to me. You know, I spent a lot of time alone and. When Ed was talking, I picked up a similar thing. I would smoke pot, and it would enhance my when I would act out.
Yeah, I got you.
You know, and then I would masturbate, or when I had a girlfriend, I would have sex with my girlfriend to
sure.
To enhance the sexual pleasure.
Okay.
You know, and so that's basically where I came from, and you know. There was a period in my life, my mother had sent me to boarding school, and there I was approached by a pedophile.
Mm.
And although I think when one's a teenager, I don't know if the person's called a pedophile, I don't know the terminology. But this man had pressured me for I never had sex with a man. I never touched him, but he had pressured me for 2 years to have sex with me.
Okay.
And in fact, although I was in an airport in Texas, and I had met a pedophile, and he wanted to come visit me at this boarding school, and I asked this man, "Is this a good idea?" And this guy, this loser, said, "Yeah, I think it's a good idea."
Oh man.
You know, yeah. And in this case, this guy picked me up. And then he put his hand on my leg, and then put my hand on his penis, you know. And then I was driving, and we were in the car, and I thought this is not right, you know. And I am grateful that I had the intelligence to change the situation, you know,
sure.
And tell this guy to get out of my life, you know.
Yeah.
You know, basically, and so.
Well, that had to be a pretty upsetting situation for you. I mean, you know, I imagine it's probably
it was traumatic, and you know, I got to say, I was alone. You know, yeah. I had no one to talk to about this.
Well, that was my next question, really. You like, where do you go with that?
And I went to pot, acid,
okay,
cocaine,
yeah, all right,
mushrooms,
okay.
And you know, I couldn't even tell my my roommate, you
okay.
know. That stuff was going on.
So you just basically swallowed the whole thing.
I swallowed the whole thing.
Stuffed it and got high and
stuffed
tried to
it and masturbated.
And masturbated. Okay.
You know, I had from the age of 14 on, I had no girlfriends. You know.
Okay.
You know, I had developed this system where not to say that I don't think women were attracted to me. You know, I think that I had developed this this mechanism, this defense of sexual fantasy and masturbation, where I just pushed people away.
Okay.
Where I had, I don't know. I just, I don't know where I was. You know, I was not functioning as a human being. You know, I didn't graduate high school. You know, because I'm a recovering drug addict too. I'd also, You know, just to fast forward that, when I was 17, I bottomed out on cocaine and basically stayed sober since then.
Okay.
And
are you in another 12-step fellowship for here?
Sure.
I'm
in AA. You know.
Oh, you are? Good. Okay.
But when I was when I got sober, you know, that's really when my sex addiction took off, you know.
So interesting. So you're saying that this is all the stuff that happened before the drugs and alcohol came into your life, but it really kicked into...
Right. When I got sober from alcohol and drugs, that's when...
But you took the chemicals away, and then this is what
raw
was left.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Wow.
It was
wow,
raw,
that's interesting.
Too. And I remember that when I was in I was in treatment for 6 months, and I was sobering up, you know, maybe 2 or 3 months sober, and I would go close my eyes and just sexual fantasy would just pour in my head, and I would be masturbating while my roommate was right next to me.
Wow.
You know in the bed 3 feet away.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And you know, I completely oblivious or not aware of like boundaries, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know? Well, it's probably the same thing with your active, you know, drug addiction or alcoholism. It's
right.
The same thing. It doesn't matter at a certain point. So,
right.
You know, anything for the thrill.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right.
No, I've heard it put really well. We had somebody on the show that talked about it once a while ago about like that game Whack-A-Mole where you hit the guy,
right?
Okay, and you put you get one thing down and another
right.
one pops up,
right?
Like, you know, it's interesting that you say that after you got your addictions with alcohol and drugs under wraps that this one popped up. You know, it's amazing. I mean,
right?
And you're saying that it had more of a grip on you than the alcohol and drug
sure.
addiction.
Sure, I just to give you an example with the daily masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
Three or four times I had started seeing somebody who was underage and was having sex with her. And despite law enforcement, her parents telling me stop seeing her, I couldn't stop, you know.
Wow.
And
wow.
With knowing the consequences, you know.
Tim, hold that thought. We're going to talk about this when we come back. This is America's 12-Step Radio Show. This is Steppin' Out.
More true stories of real people who clawed their way back from addiction are just a tap away with Steppin' Out Radio's new mobile app, available for iOS and Android devices. Go to steppinoutradio.com on your phone or tablet now and click the banner icon. Find that favorite episode, share it through email, or post it on Facebook and Twitter. Steppinoutradio.com has one-touch subscriptions for iTunes, Google Play, and all other popular podcasting apps. Find it at steppinoutradio.com.
And welcome back. This is America's 12-Step Radio Show. My name is Drew, and this is Steppin' Out. We have our friends here from Sexual Recovery Anonymous, SRA. You can get more information online about them at www.sexualrecovery.org. I have been alerted to the fact that the site is under construction right now, but it will be up live, I believe, tomorrow or the next day, so please visit the URL then, www.sexualrecovery.org. If you want to contact us here at the show, want to say hello, feedback, questions, you name it, you can get us online at www.steppinoutradio.com. When we last left off, we were talking to Tim. Tim was telling us a little bit about his unmanageability with his sexual addiction. He had gotten sober from drugs and alcohol. Then all of a sudden, bam, you know, sex just took on a whole new meaning for him, and that was his new means of acting out. Tim, why don't you tell us about, you know, what got you to take action and get help? Talk to us about, like, your worst day or worst days as a sex addict.
Okay. I want to talk about this, briefly say about this woman I was seeing. I was 19, she was 16. I couldn't stop seeing her. As I was saying, her boyfriend came to my house.
Okay.
Threatening me. I pulled a gun on him.
Oh my God.
And that's just a day in the life, like how crazy it was. You know, that day was maybe a little bit worse than usual,
yeah, sure.
but that's kind of like averaged out, you know. And so fast forward is I ran up here to New York City, you know, just to get away from my family.
Mm-hmm.
They call that a geographic. Unconsciously, I just had to leave. And here, I got lost in my isolation, you know, in my disease, which is basically masturbation and a fantasy. You know,
mm-hmm.
I didn't date, see anybody for 5 years.
Wow.
I didn't have sex for about 5 years.
Mm.
And not that, like I said, I don't think women were not attracted to me. I just couldn't deal with being in an intimate relationship.
What know? Was it? Is it a fear of rejection? Or
It was fear of sex.
Just fear of sex.
Sex with a woman was too scary that I just preferred just to stay home and masturbate. I would, a typical MO, and I wrote down a list,
mm-hmm.
of all the times that this happened. I would meet a woman. There would be this chemistry. It'd be great. We would go out and not to brag, but generally the woman would make a pass on me.
Okay.
Because I was too shy, and I would freeze up.
Okay.
Completely freeze. Give her nothing. You know.
Right.
Nothing. Then generally the woman would like split. You know.
Yeah.
And I would go home and masturbate about the fantasy about having sex with this woman.
Well, what
you know? And then feel like crap. The
right,
next day,
right, right.
You know, and just
you
and
beat
it's like
yourself up all
yeah,
right.
And it's like what where you know. And meanwhile, all my friends are going out, telling me these great stories about them getting laid. Not that getting laid is the best thing to do,
right,
but
no,
it's just the shame and humiliation I found.
But you were terrified of sex, though.
I was terrified of sex, and I tell you what, I got into sexual recovery. And I stopped masturbating.
Okay.
You know, and I would turn over sexual fantasy, you know, and whenever a fantasy would come into my head, I would just let it pass. And my life changed. It's strange that I started dating again.
Hmm.
You know, or just dating and being around women, and I picked up this new addiction of being promiscuous, you know,
okay.
and having sex.
So wait a minute. So you went from completely terrified of sex to completely promiscuous, like
not completely, but I didn't have like many different sex partners. I had sex partners that I would have sex with many times. Maybe
okay.
that's the way to put it.
I got you.
And I never viewed them. It was I always viewed them as pieces of me. You know,
okay.
it was my sex addiction saw them as a means, you know, to an end. So that's basically what happened, and my bottom is basically I had this was my bottom years before, and when I was in my masturbating phase, this woman, I mean, this friend of mine was having sex with this woman, telling me all about it, all the intimate, gory details. And, of course, I'm completely intrigued. And I had somehow saved this woman's phone number.
Okay.
And it was in my computer. And then also there was this other woman, a friend of mine, who flat out told me she wants to have sex with me. She wants to have an affair. She hates her husband. You know, they hadn't had sex in two years, and she told me this. And 2 weeks, I told her that she should get couples therapy and needs help. And 2 years, 2 weeks later, I said, this is insane. I called her up, you know, and we had phone sex, you know.
Okay.
And then meanwhile, then I get involved with this other woman, and I just can't stop, you know, having sex with her, you know. Mm. And this might sound okay, but it's not. Meanwhile, I can't function at my job.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm obsessed with this woman.
Right.
I'm obsessed with this with the sex with this woman. I'm obsessed when the next time I'm going to see her. Meanwhile, my sex addiction loves her, but I can't stand her, you know.
Right.
And I don't want to see her. But my sex addiction, I went through these daily struggles. I'll see her. I won't see her. I'll see her. Uh-huh. I won't see her. And that's just the insanity. Yes, no, yes, no. And going through that circus, you know, my personal life, my work life, my family life, every life is just going down into the tubes, you know.
Sure.
And I'm just isolated more into my addiction. And what basically happened was I couldn't function at work. I lost my job. Mm. And I was acting out with this woman and running out of money. And I just couldn't see any end. And meanwhile, I had been going to 12-step groups for 13 years, and I knew what I was doing was acting out. And that kind of like there's a saying in AA, you know, there's nothing worse than having a head full of AA and a belly full of beer.
Right.
You know what I mean? And for me, it was like there was nothing worse than acting out with this person and having the knowledge I'd gone to this one sexual group for years, but there you define your own bottom lines, and me, I could somehow, my disease can twist this where, right. I am like sober and still being involved with this woman, and that's what attracted me to SRA.
So the other sexual addiction fellowships, you can create your own ideal, so you can manipulate that to be
anything,
you're
right?
And especially if
there's yeah. people who have pornography on their plan.
Oh, really?
On their sexual recovery plan. And me personally, I don't identify with that. You know,
okay,
that doesn't work for me. And so that's why Sexual Recovery Anonymous, there's very clear bottom lines.
Well, were those ideals? No masturbation was one.
And no sex outside of a mutually committed relationship.
Now, you're wearing a ring, so you're married now.
I'm married.
Talk to me about marriage. What's marriage
okay.
like for you?
Marriage life... Whoa. What a transition to go from my wife to that, you know.
Okay.
Right. What's it like? My head's spinning from all this talk, but... today, I have a beautiful wife.
Okay.
You know, it's amazing.
Okay.
You know, I've been sober for coming up on 3 years.
Fantastic.
And
how long did you get married?
I got married in July, last July.
Okay.
So that's about 6 months ago.
Okay, good for you.
You know,
congratulations.
Thank you. I had, you know, I'd gotten sober and really worked on staying sober, you know, and to get sober, I had to go to a meeting a day, two meetings a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't work. I just had to go to meetings, you know, a year into this.
Well, what's the sexual, I mean, how does it work now? Is it the same? What's it like sexually with your wife? Is it the same?
I got to say, it's a struggle.
Yeah.
You know, but a good struggle.
Okay.
You know, I'm so used to my body and brain has been so used to the sexual hit of acting out, the like crack hit.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a adjustment, you know, But today, when I have sex with my wife, I wake up next to a beautiful woman.
You know? That's fantastic. And you know what? It sounds like, Tim, it sounds like the effort that you put into Sexual Recovery Anonymous has paid off for you. You're living the promises of the fellowship. And that's pretty fantastic. And thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Once again, this is America's 12-Step Radio Show. My name is Drew, and this is Steppin' Out.